Joining us, McKenna LaHillier is back. JDRF advocate, JDRF outreach volunteer, JDRF walk event coordinator. The walk's coming up.
She's got a couple of hats, huh?
Yeah.
April Gaspar, JDRF donor relations manager.
You got the fancy
reporting
title.
For duty.
So you're getting there.
Yeah, almost.
We're getting there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We got less than a month now.
Yeah. Yeah. And actually, the fundraising is going really great.
Is it?
Yeah. We're getting close to $65,000 raised, but we have a way to go. And I think McKenna and I both have our work cut out for us that in that area because we both have teams that are fundraising.
And I'm doing pretty well.
Better than me.
So how are you raising money?
This is a peer-to-peer event. So what happens is people form teams, and they're either fundraising on their own behalf as a type 1 diabetic, or families will form teams in honor of a type 1 diabetic. So we'll see lots of families with young kids, and they've got a lot of really creative names, and they just ask friends and family to support the mission, and they will share their story and share why they are devoted to this mission.
Long time walk here.
Yeah.
Yeah, it'll be 25 years next year.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, the Bob and Debbie Kraft actually had started the walk. Their daughter had come down with diabetes, and I don't know the complete backstory, but I do know that it was needed. It was needed in the community for type 1 diabetics. It kind of helps advocate, celebrate, and really push the stigma that circulates type 1 diabetes.
So type 1, type 2, who's going to explain that?
I can take that one on. Type 1 is a disease that requires insulin. The body stops creating insulin.
Yeah.
For one reason or another. We're working on those. And with type 2 diabetes, the body is continuing to create insulin, but the body isn't responding to that insulin properly. So you're not, digesting your food the way that you would. With type 1, the really big distinction is that you are entirely dependent on insulin. Without it, a type 1 diabetic will die. And what this means is that the patients have to monitor their blood glucose 24/7, and they have to administer insulin 24/7. The great news is that we have amazing ways to manage, and McKenna and my husband and our son are all fortunate to benefit from the research that is made possible by fundraisers like this walk. They have technology that helps them monitor their blood glucose and really stay healthy. And then there's other resources that allow them to really specifically administer insulin. In the past, people were really playing catch up with their blood glucose. They would be testing their urine, and that would be telling them what their blood glucose level was maybe hours ago. So they would be treating their condition from an hour, from hours ago, and people were always chasing that that process. So we really have amazing ways for people to stay healthy until our research finds a cure, and I think we're making incredible progress there as well.
Are we getting past giving shots? Is there other ways?
We are. Insurance companies will cover the technology, then yes, you can get past having shots. You can have an automatic monitor. You probably see commercials for all the different kinds of
those.
Insulin pump. And also, yes, the insulin pumps. Mm-hmm. And
but not everybody likes to. It is about preference. So true. You can get away from injections, manual injections. You can get away from manual injections, but some people prefer that. I know, you know, we have the insulin pump that can help administer insulin. We have the CGMs, continuous glucose monitor. But there is some individuals like myself where kind of burn out of one or the other, and then you go back to the injection. So we do have several options, which is one of the pillars that JDRF stands for, is that's the research, and that is how we can grow into a better way to manage our diabetes.
So you've dealt with it your whole life, right?
Yes, yep.
Is it getting easier?
I don't want to say that it's getting easier because there is stressors every single day. It's something that will never go away, and it's a constant headache. It's always there. However, JDRF, organizations like JDRF, do make the quality of life better. So it will always be, I mean, it will always be there. It'll always be a headache. In my lifetime, would I like to see a cure? Of course. Do I think that's realistic in my mind? Maybe not my lifetime, but I do know starting out as a young child, the diabetic supplies and management that I had then is completely different now. You know, growing up with an A1C between 11 and 13, and A1C is your 3-month average of glucose, and then now sitting at, you know, 6.9 is significant. And that just shows what, you know, what these donations go to. A lot of people do have the assumption that it is just a cure, and a lot of people, there is a stigma behind that. But one of the pillars that JDRF does stand for is that research. And that really is most important to me because I want the research. I want more of quality of life.
Sure. You never have enough money for research.
No.
Right?
No, there's always another question to be answered. And this is a really complex disease. We're finding now, just recently, I've learned that it's not just the insulin. The insulin is, you know, absolutely essential, but that there are a lot of other processes going on inside your body, and each person is different, of course. And they call it a metabotype that it also influences how your body uses insulin. So we're really going into all of the different avenues. I am so impressed with the leadership at JDRF and how they weed through and really select only the best, most likely research projects that will result in a progress. It's really mind-boggling.
Who's doing research?
There is, we actually very fortunately have a JDRF Center of Excellence at the University of Michigan. So right here is one of only four, I believe, worldwide.
Wow.
Where they are, yeah, it's really amazing, where they're bringing together interdisciplinary teams. So you have to have microbiologists and engineers, all different kinds of teams coming together to look at the problem and find solutions, and then figure out how to bring those solutions to everyone. It's a really big deal.
Yeah, I think a lot of people, they hear type 1, type 2, they think, well, type 1 is an adult and type 2 is a kid, and that's just not the case, right?
Oh, I'm so, so glad you brought this up. And I'm sorry, McKenna. I'm just going on.
No, I think you are being very informative.
Well, you know, I am so, so glad.
Passionate.
Well, I'm passionate because it affects my family
directly.
It's
close to home.
Sure.
Yeah. As a matter of fact, my husband was diagnosed with type 1 when he was 40 years old.
Wow.
So there's a real misconception out there that because it used to be known as juvenile diabetes, because mm-hmm. often the onset would be...
They did change the name.
Yeah, the onset would be during childhood. And then people thought that it was limited to childhood and that you kind of grew out of it, which is absolutely not the case.
Yeah, you can get that at any age. And I think the biggest misconception with type 1 and type 2 is type 1, also known as juvenile diabetes. I got it at 4. Her husband got it at 40. And then you have type 2, where that is, in a nutshell, lifestyle and diet. And usually that does occur later on as an adult. But yeah, type 1 pretty much any age these days.
Yeah. It doesn't pick and choose.
No.
Correct. And, you know, and that just referencing type 2, it reminds me that we're finding that many of the treatments that we use for type 1 are becoming applicable for type 2 diabetics. For example, the continuous glucose monitor that helps anyone with diabetes to be able to better manage their condition. So that's something else that we're really proud of, even though that we're kind of a subset of the diabetes community. We're coming up with solutions that help all of them.
So not too late to get involved in the walk?
No, not at all. We still need volunteers. We still need donations. We still need sponsors. I mean, that could be right up to the morning of the walk. We really do need more representation there and more people to help with the walk. And like I said before, the walk isn't necessarily, I mean, to me and anybody that's involved, it's not just the walk event. It really is a celebration of what type 1 diabetics deal with, go through, the management, the stigma, the advocacy. It's all wrapped under, you know, one umbrella, and it's really important for those that have type 1 and are associated with type 1, because this really is a great time to really advocate for ourselves. And research is one thing, donations is one thing, but if you're not advocating for yourself as a type 1, you're really losing out on a lot, I believe.
Absolutely.
So what kind of volunteers do you need?
Oh, we have the activities tent. We've got face painters. We have a lot of yard games. We have a bounce house. We do need help people to help facilitate with that. Those that like to engage with the younger children. We have our food and our refreshments tent. We need greeters. We need, I mean, there is a list. There is a whole list of things that we could really use a lot more support. And just having friendly faces there, because there's a lot of new families. This is going to be their first walk event. I mean, some type 1 diabetics just had their child diagnosed a month ago, right? So it's really helpful to have that engagement. So we would just need some friendly faces and greeters. And there is a link that I don't know if we can find it on the JDRF website. I know that I have it circulated on Facebook.
I like to just point people to walk.jdrf.org, and if you type in Jackson in the search box, mm-hmm. you're going to see Jackson, Michigan, and Jackson, Mississippi, and I bet you can pick the right one.
Well, I don't know. That could get tricky. So you're an outreach volunteer. You're always looking out for...
Yes, I am. I really think that it was needed in Jackson for having it as long as I have. And actually, August 1st will be 32 years.
Do
yeah,
these
32
get
years
together.
Yeah, we have sometimes besides the walk, because the walk is a platform that you can use for support. But throughout the year, that's what was missing. There wasn't really any engagement to the type 1 community. So
right.
I seen the need. And so right now, every month, every third Thursday, every second Thursday of the month, I have a type 1 talk, which we meet at Jackson Coffee Company. It's for an hour. 5:45 to 6:45, because I close at 7, or it would be a lot longer. But I tried making a time where everybody can come. And right now, it's been a mix of type 1 adults and parents of type 1s. So we have that. About every few months, I do some sort of meetup. The last one was at a bowling alley. We're thinking of putt-putt golf, maybe something more for the younger kids. I'm thinking at something for the type 1 adults, because that's something that's obviously close to my heart. So just a lot of ways to really engage and advocate other than the walk. So if people want to find out more of that, they can look me up on Facebook. I've got a Type 1 Talk Facebook group. Mm-hmm. Lots of ways to connect with others, other parents, other adults, teens. So it's growing.
So April, if somebody gets the word today, you've got type 1 or type 2 or whatever, type 22, is there assistance that they turn to?
There absolutely is. For children, we have our Bag of Hope. And usually you will hear about that upon diagnosis. You'll receive from your provider a form that will, where you can share your information and get connected with JDRF. You can also just look up the Bag of Hope online and fill out that form. And I'll tell you what, I'm so passionate about this. I'm not afraid to share my phone number. I'm at 734-474-2176. That's my mobile. No one has ever abused it. Fingers crossed. We are really here to help you and really get our community together. You know, there were several families that received a diagnosis over the pandemic, and so they have been super isolated. And we encourage anyone that that hears about this to have them come out. We're, you know, of course, we're about fundraising and doing research to find a cure, but we also are passionate about connection and support.
Yes.
So you can still get involved in the walk.
Yes.
Yep.
Yep.
Plenty of time.
What's the best way to accomplish that?
The best way, and actually, if you're not able to attend the walk, because there are some people that it's a Saturday morning, you can't always get to the walk. There are other ways to be able to, if you wanted to help raise funds, if you wanted to, I don't know, April, what do you think would be a way if somebody said that they couldn't really attend the walk other than being able to help fundraise? What are other ways that if they wanted to connect with one of JDRF staff to be able to help with the walk?
I just think the simplest thing is to go to walk.jdrf.org and type in Jackson. You'll see my contact information then on the webpage. And then, you know, the most important thing is just to get connected. You can form a team. And, you know, of course, since the pandemic,
virtual walkers.
Yeah, we've had lots of virtual participation. And really, people make that their own. They will get family together. I have one team captain who I just love that every year she shares with her extended family the advancements that have come that year that directly benefited her. And I just think that's so powerful. I get goosebumps when I think about her saying, "You giving to this cause helps me every day."
So June 11th, what time?
8:30. And if you are volunteering, it will be, I have volunteers arriving between 7 and 7:30.
Okay.
And it's usually over by 11. So it doesn't extend too long into the day.
Does the walk start at 8:30 or you have a program?
We have an itinerary. 8:30 okay. is when we would want all participants to arrive. It is important to note that in previous years, we would do cash donations on site and registration. Those are two things that we are doing all virtual. So if you are going to be a volunteer, you'd register online. If you are going to be a participant, you would register online. Again, if you go to the website, that will flow and you can apply that way. But yeah.
Great catch.
The things I think about that there's questions, but yes, we're definitely not doing any type of cash or registration on site. But it is important to note that when you do register for the walk, and I absolutely love the way that JDRF has created a great platform. When you register, you get a nice little login with a dashboard. There's lots of ways to tips and tricks of how to fundraise, and then you can link your Facebook fundraiser to the page. And I can definitely note that because of this advancement in technology that JDRF is doing as far as research, or not research, but fundraising. Mm-hmm. I mean, most of my fundraisers have went from $200-$300 up to $2,000. So the last couple years, just from that Facebook fundraising connection to your dashboard on JDRF is really crucial. A lot of ways that people can, if they can't participate in the walk and they want to fundraise, I've done everything from silent auctions on Facebook to garage sales to bake sales to car washes. I mean, it's really endless the opportunity that people can have to
they
not
can
only
drop fundraise. Off a check.
They could send in a check.
There's
yes.
an idea.
I like
yes.
the way you think.
Yes. And that address and all of that is on the JDRF website.
Okay.
Yes.
Did we miss anything?
I don't think so.
Yeah. You guys are ready to
We are ready to rock. Go. We are very excited. I think this is the most exciting time of the year for me. I just absolutely love all the connections that are made. And I've done really well in not getting too emotional when I talk about it, but it's just something that's so amazing that type 1 diabetics have the opportunity to do this and share a story. Like I said, if you're not advocating for yourself already, now is the time. This is a great opportunity.
Thanks, ladies.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.